Easter Sunday, 2020. John 11:25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. John 11:25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall even die, live even if he dies. John 11:25. Luke 24:3-6. And they entered and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And the angel said, He is not here. He has risen. Luke 24:3-6. And they entered and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And the angel said, He is not here. He has risen. Luke 24:3-6. Luke 24:31. And the two men from Emmaus' eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. Luke 24:31. And the two men from Emmaus' eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. Luke 24:31. Today the subject is the empty tomb, the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many magnificent verses that deal with the resurrection. One of those is found in Luke 24:3, which says, They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Luke 24:3. Before we begin our study today, we spend a moment in prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today that we are the recipients of your magnificent grace, salvation grace. We're thankful for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came forth out of that grave, victorious over death and hell and sin and the grave. We're thankful indeed for the fact that the Father was willing to give his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, God incarnate, for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world. Father, we rejoice today in the fact of the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for those words, He is not here, but is risen. We are thankful indeed for the risen Christ. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today, that we'll be able to take these magnificent truths and apply them to our lives on a daily basis. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're turning in our Bibles to John chapter 20 and reading a number of verses. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. We come today to honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and look at these magnificent verses. Again, Luke 24:6 says, He is not here, but is risen. And remember how he spoke unto you when he was in Galilee. Today we come to honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We understand many things from the Word of God about him. We understand some things about his death. We understand some things about his life. One of the things that we understand about his death is that his death delivers us from the penalty of sin. How fantastic that thought is. His death delivers us from the penalty of sin. Since you and I, as born-again believers, have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we not only know some things about his death, but we know some things about life in us, his life in us. His life indwelling us makes us ready for this earth. And his life delivers us from the power of sin. There are many things that his life and death does for us. His life abounding in us removes for us the hopelessness and the barrenness of our life. We understand also that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ gets us ready for our eternity with him. We rejoice today in the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Heaven is our eternal home. There are so many magnificent verses in God's Word that gives to us the assurance that if we've accepted him, he's accepted us. And as a result of that, salvation is ours. The Bible says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a magnificent day as we honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, realizing and magnifying the fact that what He has done for us in the death, burial, and resurrection is that He's provided for us salvation, eternal life. We have for you today what is known as a resurrection booklet. Many of you will be able to see this on the internet. I'm encouraging you, if you will, please, to take this information. I'm giving you a quick summary of it today, but what I would like for you to do is to take the time to have a Bible study and utilize the information that you have on the internet. This is a magnificent presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it a resurrection bulletin. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that are emphasized here. One is that there are segments related to the resurrection. I'm going to put some of this on the screen. You'll be able to see some of it. Some of it will be in the internet and the bulletin. First of all, there's an emphasis in the Word of God on the empty tomb. As I've already given Luke 24:3, they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And here's where I read John chapter 20, a number of verses. The resurrection body left the tomb before the stone was rolled away. It was not necessary that the stone be rolled away before the Lord of life could come from the grave. The stone was rolled away not necessarily for the Savior to come out, but rather to let the women and the disciples come in. Why enter, you might ask? And the answer to that is for evidence therein of the fact of the resurrection. The angel requested them to enter in, calling special attention to the place where the Lord lay. The empty tomb is described in Mark and also described in the Gospel of Luke. Mark describes to the inside of the tomb to be the place where His body had been laid. When you go to Mark 16:5, you find a description of an emphasis there. In Luke 24:3, we read, they entered in and found not the body. Luke 24:12 says, but Peter rose, ran into the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he sees the linen clothes by themselves. There are many magnificent truths in the Word of God. We find there's an emphasis upon what I would classify as categories or sections of resurrection. There's an emphasis, first of all, on the presentation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's referred to as the first fruits. So I'm putting on the screen for you to be able to see. In our little booklet here, you'll be able to see the emphasis on these various categories of the resurrection. We'll go over this very quickly and then I'll come back and describe in detail. The Bible presents, first of all, that Jesus Christ is the first one to receive a resurrection body. So I'm putting on the screen, first resurrection, Christ. You may want to write that down and remember that the Scripture emphasizes that Jesus Christ is the first one to be the recipient of a resurrection body. There's a second group to receive a resurrection body. On the screen I have placed number 2, the church age believers. This will be a magnificent time when at the end of the age of grace, the church age, there will be what is known as the resurrection of the body of Christ. We refer to that as the rapture. An emphasis upon church age believers. So we have two sections so far. We have the first, resurrection Christ. Second, church age believers. Now, number three, we have an emphasis in the scripture on what takes place next. And that is Old Testament saints and martyrs of the tribulation. Most of us who've spent time studying God's Word are aware of the fact that there is a beautiful timeline. We analyze it many, many times over the years. Emphasis upon the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age. And then an emphasis upon what takes place at the conclusion of the church age, which is the resurrection of the body of Christ. Most of us have been able to see that period of time known as the 7 years of tribulation. On the screen, we have section number three, Old Testament saints and martyrs of the tribulation. The fourth category that we're presenting then will be all millennial saints and those alive at the second advent. You'll have time to look this over in the information that has been presented to you on the internet. But this takes us then to what is known as a second resurrection. The second resurrection is an emphasis upon all believers since the beginning of time, brought up and judged. These are unbelievers. All unbelievers since the beginning of time, brought up and judged. What we'd like for you to do in your time, take Revelation chapter 20 and begin reading with verse 12 and read verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. These scriptures relate to what is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment can be described in the following way. Number one, these are people who do not face God's justice in time, and now they will receive divine justice in eternity. Referred to in the scripture as the second death. Referred to as the Great White Throne Judgment. Found in John chapter 5, verse 22. The Great White Throne Judgment is a terrible presentation of what takes place to people who do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior. So I reiterate number one here. People who do not face God's justice in time will receive divine justice in eternity. The second death. The Great White Throne Judgment. John 5:22. If we could summarize this in putting it in subpoints, number one, under the last judgment. The last judgment is the alternative to salvation. God presents magnificently the wonderful plan of redemption for mankind. A person should not be unaware of the fact that when God loved, He loved the world, and that when Christ died, He died for everyone. And that the plan of salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. So subpoint one under the last judgment. The last judgment then is the alternative to salvation. Subpoint two, God is perfect. We classify this as perfect righteousness and perfect justice. When I take a look at this, I see on the one hand God's righteousness. I see on the other hand God's justice. God's righteousness says that God is holy and righteous, mankind ungodly, unholy, unrighteous. In other words, I see that the scripture is revealing very vividly When you take a look at the righteousness on the one hand and the justice of God on the other hand, you'll see that there's no way that an unholy man, mankind, can get together with God because God is righteous. So something has to be done to make preparation for an unholy, unrighteous humanity to be made right with God. All of us are aware of the fact of what took place, and that is a virgin was conceived with a little baby. This is an emphasis in the scripture on the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit that brought about this conception. And this is the reason why the Spirit of God and the angels spoke to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary unto yourself as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." He was comforted by the fact that he was made aware of the fact that that little baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's not a baby born in relationship to humanity. This is the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The only one qualified, the only one who could possibly go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. The last judgment then is the alternative to salvation. God is perfect righteousness, and God is perfect justice. We've already emphasized the fact that since God is righteous, mankind unrighteous, there has to be something to change. Justice says sin has to be paid for. And when we look back, we discover that in the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead saw how necessary it was for a pure, sinless, spotless individual, Jesus Christ. The only one who was qualified to give himself, and he did just that. Jesus Christ was willing to die for the sins of the world. God is perfect in righteousness and justice. Subpoint three, then, he found a way in time to keep from compromising these two characteristics, righteousness and justice. And Christ did this in what is known as theologically propitiation. Propitiation is a theological word which just simply means satisfaction. A beautiful, magnificent word. When Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross, gave himself to the point of coming forth out of the grave, triumphant over sin and the grave and hell and death, and ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. When the Father saw this event, the Father said to resurrected humanity, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." What that is really saying is that the Father was propitiated, satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Roman numeral 2 here, the human race falls into two categories. On the one hand, the believer. The believer is perceptive, who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. This person has accepted the good news of the gospel. This person understands the scripture in John 3:18, which says, "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." When you take a look at this, you see belief, perception on the one hand. On the other hand, you see the unbeliever, the person who's negative, non-perceptive, one who's rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture reveals eternal condemnation. John 3:36 reveals very beautifully to us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Take a look at that passage of scripture in John 3:36 again. Such a powerful verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How wonderful, how magnificent that is. Let me read it again. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Number 5. In the last judgment, the unbeliever is under indictment based on rejection of Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's the reason why we find it written in John 16:9 of sin, because they believe not on me. Notice how simple and yet how profound that is. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That's the reason why when you go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, you'll read, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How sad, how tragic. It's powerful to be able to see this. The person who's accepted Jesus Christ as Savior has everlasting life. The person who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior does not have that life. Revelation 20:15 again says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I didn't write this. This is found in God's Word, the Bible. What we need to know is, Roman numeral 4, that no believer is ever involved in the last judgment. When the Apostle Paul was writing the Romans in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Roman numeral 5. The unbeliever has two appointments with God. Let's analyze this for a few moments at the close of our session today. The unbeliever has two appointments with God. One of those is death. We're breathing. Our heart is ticking. We're alive. But we have an appointment. And this first appointment is with death. We do not know just exactly when this will take place. We have the assurance that one of these days, this heart will stop beating. We will stop breathing. We'll be absent from this body. So the unbeliever must understand that he or she has two appointments with God. One of those is death. The second appointment of the unbeliever is the last judgment. We've already emphasized this. It's found again in Hebrews 9:27 and 28. We're talking about now the unbeliever again and saying that the unbeliever has a second appointment. The second appointment is kept by a second resurrection. That's presented to us in scriptures like John 5:24 through 29 and Daniel chapter 12 verse 2. God takes all unbelievers One of these days we'll resurrect them at the end of time, which comes after the Gog Revolution, and gets them ready for the great white throne judgment. The resurrected unbeliever is condemned. Condemned on the basis of what he or she has depended upon to get them to heaven. That is, their works, their energy of the flesh. The resurrection of the unbeliever is condemnation on the basis of what they've depended upon. They've depended upon not what God has the ability to do, but what they had the ability to do, which was not sufficient. The eternal state of the lost, the Bible says, is the lake of fire forever. This is a startling passage of Scripture. You find it in Matthew 25:41, which says, "Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels." His angels. This is telling us very vividly that hell was not prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. God loves you. Christ died for you. And what the Bible teaches us very vividly is that we do not have to go to this place of eternal punishment. We can accept the gift of God, salvation, and have no doubts whatsoever about the fact that heaven is our eternal home. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." That's John 3:16. That's a verse that you perhaps learned when you were a little child. If it's not, it's one that you need to hear now. It's so powerful. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." This is telling us very vividly that salvation is a gift from God, not the works of man, not anything that we can do. Salvation doesn't come to us because of our abilities. It doesn't come because of the fact that we've united with a church or followed some church ritual. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. That's the reason why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." On this magnificent day, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, may I say to you that every day can be Resurrection Day to those who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You've accepted him. He's accepted you. And therefore, every single day is a joyous day. It's Easter Sunday for you every day when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I would encourage you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, to do that today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The Scripture says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. It's very plain, very simple. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can trust him now. We bow for a moment of prayer. And in these brief moments, we just ask you, if you will, please, if you've never done this, do it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be many, even at this very moment, who will say yes to you, accept you, knowing that you do not lie to us. You tell us the truth. And you said, whosoever, doesn't matter who it is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Not hope so, or maybe so. It says shall be. We thank you over and over again today for salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.